If you have your Bible, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to read from verse 1 to about verse 8. I want you to know this is the gospel that we preach. And the centrality of this gospel is that Jesus is raised from the dead. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you receive, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I receive I pass on to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us such a great gift, the Son who take away our sins and save us, and give us eternal life. Thank you for the resurrection that forever give us hope. And we will never lost this hope because he has risen. And he appeared to not only the disciples and the Christians during the first century, but he continued to appear to us and we accepted him. We know for sure that he is raised because he has appeared to us and give us assurance that our faith is genuine and our faith is not in vain. Help us to celebrate this, and also as we go out and celebrate this victory with our friends and families in the days to come. Bring us into your heart today. Bring us to understand the gospel deeper today, that we will rejoice in it the more. Help me to expose the text so that everyone would understand. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yesterday, I talked about the gospel. In the first two verses, Paul said, I preach this, and you have received it. And you build your life upon the gospel. And you are saved by the gospel. But the gospel has four parts. The first part is that Jesus died in accordance with the scripture, but is for our sins. He died not because of his sin. He died because of our sins. We talked about that yesterday, and so today we want to continue the second part of this four-part gospel. The first part is that Jesus died for our sins. The second part was that he was buried. After Jesus died, the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate, was assured that Jesus indeed died. Before he gave order or permission for Joseph and his friends to take down the body, Pontius Pilate instructed the soldiers to pierce into Jesus' body to make sure that he's dead, that he's just not fainted on the cross. Why? He has that fear that he may not die because the other two thieves hanging on either side of Jesus were still alive. So they put a spear into his rib cage. The blood flow, the water flow. And then the other two thieves are broken smash the knees, so they would die. And they all three died. The Jewish leaders want to make sure that he died. And so they were there to watch. They were sure that Jesus died. And so Jesus was prepared and put on a tomb. In the Jewish traditions that can still be observed today in Palestine and also in Egypt and in the Muslim world, they wrap the body up into a mummy so that the dead cannot get up, and they put in a tomb. As far as Jesus' burial, there has never been a dispute then or now. It is a slam dunk. This part of the gospel, the second part, the second leg of the gospel, is a slam dunk. There's no one question that Jesus died and he was put in a tomb. He was buried. So that much I want to talk about this second part of the gospel. There's no question then, there's no dispute then, and there's no dispute now. The dispute remains about the resurrections. It was a dispute then, and it is a dispute now. And if you believe in Jesus, you believe in the resurrection. If you don't believe in Jesus, you don't believe in the resurrection, because there's a dispute about Jesus' resurrection. Whether Jesus was stolen, or did he rose from the dead? That's the linchpin of Christianity. The Bible said that Jesus was raised on the third day in accordance with Scripture. So let's look at Scripture a little bit. The first preaching that Peter had done in Jerusalem after Jesus was raised, we found that in Acts chapter 2. And Peter quotes Psalms 116. Psalm 16, verse 8 to 11. So if you have your Bible, let's go there, because this is quoted as the prophecy concerning Jesus' resurrection. Psalm 16. Okay, we're going to read verse 8 to 11. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. The prophecy that God has given to us long before Jesus was born said that the Messiah would die, but his body will not remain in the grave. His body will be raised up to life, and he will enjoy life, and he will enjoy God's presence, and he will enjoy with eternal pleasure at the right hand of God. Now, if you turn over to Psalm 22, This talked about Jesus' death on the cross, the suffering that he would die on the cross, and his resurrection. Psalm 22 talked both about the life of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, and his prayer in the tomb, and the resurrection. I just want to talk a little bit about how precise the Word of God have predicted his death and then the resurrection. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to chapter 22. We're going to read from verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart was turned to wax. It was melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothes. This is the prophecy concerning Jesus' death on the cross, how precise it would be that Jesus himself will experience the most agonizing torture of all time. That he, as he hanging there on the cross, experienced pain on every part of his body, and he knows exactly where the pain comes from. All the joints are torn as he hang there on the cross. His hands were pierced by nails, and his feet were pierced by nail. And his clothes were divided. We read that in the Bible. We read that in the New Testament. But before Jesus died, before Jesus fulfilled those prophecy, Jesus himself said he would die likewise. There's not only two places in the Bible that talked about Jesus' death. There's a third place that I also want you to know. And that is in Isaiah 53. If you turn to Isaiah 53, this is the chapter that talked about Jesus' death. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to read some of it. I'm going to read from verse 4 to verse 11. And after verse 11, then the passage talked about Jesus coming back to life again and to receive life and glory, and to receive people to himself, and that his name would be preached among the nations. But let's read about Jesus' suffering and death. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppressions and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer, and through the Lord made his life a guilt offering. He will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the sufferings of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. All these three texts talked about Jesus' death and talked about his resurrection. And Jesus indeed was raised to life in accordance with Scripture. There may be a dispute because they couldn't find his body. And there will always be a dispute because his body is not found on earth, because the body has been raised to life and Jesus has ascended into heaven. On the third day, we did not find that in the Old Testament, but Jesus proclaimed it himself that he will be raised on the third day. We find that in Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 to 40, and it reads, he answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus talked about the sign of his death and the sign of his resurrection. And later on in Matthew 16, verse 4, Jesus himself said, he will be arrested, he will be persecuted, he will be killed. But on the third day, he will rise again. We also find that in John chapter 2, where Jesus said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. He was referring to his body as the temple of God. So Jesus died on Friday, and he was raised on Monday. In your calculation and my calculations, in our own a calculation, as the world taught us, Jesus was not buried for 3 days. But the Bible, the way God counts days, is different from the way we count days. We start the days from midnight, and it ends at midnight. But God counts the day at dusk. So Jesus died on Friday afternoon. That would be day one. Day two began on Friday at dusk, around 7 o'clock. That's the second day. And second day ends on Saturday at about 7 o'clock. Then the third day began Saturday evening. So on Sunday morning, that would be the third day. In God's counting of days. This counting of days is given to us even from the book of Genesis at creation. God said this is how we are to count the days. God counts the day that way. So what consequence if Jesus is raised from dead? Peter proclaimed that in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. What does that mean? That means that he is now given authority in the heavens and in the earth, and he is Lord of everything. And Paul would later say that everything was created for him and through him, and everything then is given to him, and he received inheritance of everything that has been created. That's what it means, Lord. What about the word Christ? Christ means that he is the son of Abraham, the son of Abraham who will bring blessing to all the world. Christ also means he is the son of David, who will sit enthroned forever and ever. And Christ means he is the son of God, who will save humanity. In the last couple of months, we have been studying the book of Hebrews, and the book of Hebrews is a sustained argument that Jesus is the Son of God, he's raised from the dead, and he's enthroned at the right hand forever, and he will renew everything there is. And he is the high priest in the order of Melchizedek forever and ever. That's point number three of the gospel. And point number four is here that Jesus appeared to the disciples. He appeared at different places to different people. We read in the Bible that he appeared to Mary Magdalene. The sayings that we heard today talked about Mary seeing Jesus, talking to Jesus. The text here that we read said that Jesus appeared to Peter and the 12, and then the 500 getting together at his ascension. And later on, he appeared to James and the apostles, referring to all the believers who have been sent out to preach the gospel, and then to Paul. These appearances took place during the 40 days that Jesus was on earth, but also after those 40 days that Jesus had ascended to heaven. The appearance to Paul and others were done subsequent to those 40 days. But not only then did Jesus appear. Jesus continued to appear to people in the last 2,000 years. And Jesus still appears to us today. If you read the Alliance magazine, you will read from time to time Jews and Gentiles and mostly Muslims telling how Jesus appeared to them, to call them to faith. There's an account that I put down here by Chris Mitchell and Julie Starr from CBN. On January 1, 2013, they reported from Jerusalem about a guy named Ali who took the Muslim pilgrimage to Mecca, known as the Hajj. And this is what Ali said. Of course, when I went to Mecca, I was going there in order to pay homage to the Kaaba and to fulfill the requirements in Islam. That night, I saw Jesus in a dream. First, Jesus touched my forehead with his fingers. And after touching me, he said, "You belong to me." And then he touched me above my heart. "You have been saved. Follow me. You belong to me." So Ali said, "I decide I'm not going to finish the Hajj, the pilgrimage. Whatever it takes, I'm going to follow that voice." He's referring to Jesus' voice. This is part four of the gospel. Since no one can prove that Jesus is raised from the dead, except the gospel said Jesus is raised from the dead and the empty tomb, how do you prove that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior? You prove that only because Jesus come and meet with you. The question for you and the question for me is that, has Jesus met with you? Has you met the risen Lord? Because the gospel has four parts. We can all testify that Jesus died for our sin. We can all testify that Jesus was buried. There's evidence on that. But there's a dispute about Jesus' resurrection. And there's part number four. If you believe Jesus is raised from the dead, part number four is that Jesus come and meet with you. Paul can testify. Peter can testify. The author of the New Testament testified that Jesus came and meet with them. Now this Ali, a Muslim guy who came to faith, testified that Jesus came and meet with him. See, if you preach the gospel, you preach with us. Paul preached with us. And that's how people come to faith. We are established here in Sacramento. We are called to preach the gospel. But if we can only preach on three of the four parts of the gospel, then our testimony is not valid. It's like a table that has four legs. And if you can talk about three legs and one leg collapse, the table falls down. Your testimony about Jesus Christ will not be accepted because your personal testimony is invalid, even though the scripture has given us a valid gospel. So as we go and witness to our friends and our families, to our co-workers and people in Sacramento, we need a gospel that has four legs, four parts. The other three are in the Bible. Number four is yourself. And if you have speak correctly about the Bible, but no testimony about your life, what Jesus has done for you, that Jesus has come into your life, and then in Jesus' name, his power had manifest in your life, your gospel, your testimony collapse. So I want to ask you, have you prayed about meeting with Jesus? Do you know for sure that Jesus had met you? And if you're not sure, it's time to pray, because that is a crucial part of being a witness for Christ. We are here in Sacramento. We are called to give testimony about Jesus. And that is very important as a church, as a believer, as a witness for Christ. If you're not sure you have met the Lord Jesus, or that he has come to you, go home today and pray. Jesus, has you come to me? Have you met me? Have I met you? Did we meet somewhere during my journey as a Christian? Was there a meeting someplace? And if the Lord has met with you, the Lord will disclose that to you at such place and time. And that event in your life, whatever that particular event, the Lord will disclose that to you and will bring memory back to you. And you will know, it is that event in my life that you have entered into my life and that we have met. Because I remember when I was 13, I was attacked by a demon, and for several days I could not sleep. And my father said, there's no power in heaven on earth that will cast out the demon but the name of Jesus. And so on that night, after I finished reading the book of Matthew, I knelt down and I said, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, as Matthew had written down, then you will cast out this demon and I will know you. It was after I said amen that the Lord Jesus came and cast out the demon and give me peace, and then I went to bed. And the next morning when I wake up, there is a solid thing in my heart is unmovable, and that solid faith in my heart is that Jesus is the Son of God. And I made him, I met with him yesterday in my prayer. That's how wonderful Jesus would come into your life and come into my life. And that become the rock of your life, and you will remain on that rock and be a Christian the rest of your life. And your testimony then will be valid. Your testimony then, people will hear and people will know that that person had met with the Lord Jesus. So I want each and every one of us who have met the Lord Jesus to give a testimony from here on. Next week, we will hear from Isaac. The following week, please have a volunteer, because I want to hear the testimony about the Lord Jesus in your life. That is how we do evangelism here in this town. That's how we do evangelism in accordance with the scripture. So please send me your testimony, and I want to hear from our church. And we all want to hear from you how you become a Christian, how the Lord had met with you and changed you and transformed you. Okay? So, Isaac, it's next week. And following that, Gong Cheng will give his message and his testimony when we go to, when I go to do. I speak at the camp. Gong Cheng will preach here at church, and he will give his testimony. I have two, and in May it will be yours. Who will come next? Let's stand up and pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful testimony that you have given to us through the scriptures. The testimony that Paul has given to us, that he himself had met with the Lord and that the Lord has called him to ministry. And he fulfilled the other part of the gospel. Lord, you call us to be witness for you in this town. And we want to hear your testimony among us. That as the testimony about the Lord Jesus' resurrection go out from the four walls of this church into the community, into the street, into people's home, into the workplace, that Jesus will be magnified, Jesus will be glorified, and the glory of Jesus will be displayed not only in the work that we do, but also in the words that we say about him. Help us to do that. Help us to celebrate Jesus everywhere we go and everything that we do. Remind us always that the Lord Jesus has been raised from the dead and victory has been won, and then we have eternal life and we are your son and your daughters, and no one can take that away from us. You are on our side forever. And we will meet with the Lord on the day that he returns, when he transformed this earth into a new earth and new heavens. We will be there with him to reign with him forever and ever. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.